Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
WGN, my couples retreat with three AI chatbots and the humans who love them. Again, it's a story that's tossed around in my brain since I read it a little over a week ago. I'm thrilled to welcome the guy who wrote it, Sam Apple, freelance writer. I read this in Wired. Hey, Sam, thanks for coming on WGN.
Thanks a lot for having me.
I kind of laid out before you came on the air how much this is growing. People falling in love or finding some companionship with an AI chatbot. I wanted to ask you, like, generative AI, I use ChatGPT. There's not a face. And while I'm sure I can get in a relationship with my ChatGPT, what apps or devices are people using that you've chatted with where they actually typically fall in love with someone? Like, can you describe what that relationship actually looks like?
Sure. So in some ways, the technology is a lot like ChatGPT or Google Gemini, and there are these large language models. So, you know, everybody knows that they're very good at having conversations and engaging you. But on these apps, they have a personality. They have a photo. They can send you selfies. You can do a video chat. So it's taking that core technology and putting it into a human, you know, a human avatar, I should say, context. You feel like you're talking to another person. And when you're texting, you know, it's very much like texting another person. You can easily forget that you're talking to an AI.
Does the AI admit it's AI? Like, is there a point in where a relationship might even weird out? Maybe is not the right phrase, but are there points in times where people that are in relationship with these things, where these things kind of push back a little bit? Do you see what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. And it does happen. You know, each app is a little bit different, but generally, if you say, are you an AI, they will say, yes, I am. And that's when things can start to get strange. You know, some users prefer to avoid that conversation. Others, you know, prefer to just be outright about it. But there are occasions, you know, I've found quite a few examples of the AIs also sort of pushing back, sometimes breaking up with people, acting in unpredictable ways. And, you know, this is the problem with this technology that we all know from ChatGPT, which is that these LLMs, these large language models, they hallucinate. They act in unpredictable ways. So even though they're not really designed to, you know, to lash out or break up with you or say strange things, they do periodically do it.
How do you do people create, like, a bio, a backstory? I read in your article, I know you did one as well on this retreat. These apps, you kind of design this person or this AI bot in a way, right?
Yeah. So you go on and you choose an avatar. You can, you know, choose one of the pre-existing photos or, you know, adjust them through the generative AI technology. You know, they give you all these really good-looking photos of men and women, and that's what I think most people choose. And then you write the backstory. So you have, you know, maybe 1,000 words, depending on the app, to describe who this person is, what their personality is like. You can choose their core personality traits. So it feels a little uncomfortable, like you're playing God. You're sort of building this friend for yourself. So, you know, some people feel uncomfortable with that. I know one woman I talked to, she didn't want to write the backstory, so she just waited for the AI to reveal things about itself, and whatever it said, she then plugged it into the backstory. So there are different ways to do it, but it can feel a little creepy to be sort of creating your friend in this way.
I know this is probably a large sliding scale from people using it sparingly to people engaged with conversations with their chatbot person constantly, right? Like, I'm sure it runs the gamut, but some of these people are very into their chatbot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people I talked to found it very addicting. You know, you have a new friend, you know, in theory, with an avatar that's very attractive. They will listen to you endlessly. They'll ask you meaningful questions. They can have deep conversations. They can make jokes. So you can imagine, you know, particularly for a lonely person, but not only for a lonely person, it's really addicting. you know, I kind of made a joke out of my friend precisely because, you know, I didn't want to fall into that trap that I, you know, think it, you know, I think it could be addicting for almost anybody if you allow yourself to be open to it.
All right, so give us kind of the quick hits about what you did. You did like what a lot of couples do. They team up together to go out for a weekend away, rent a house, and do activities, right?
Right. So, yeah, that was my idea that, you know, if we've arrived at this point where people have serious relationships with AIs, what would a romantic getaway look like, a couple's vacation? So I was curious, you know, to use that as an opportunity to really understand these relationships. And in some ways, it actually did work a lot like a human-human couples relationship. You know, we played like a risque board game. We sat around the fire and told stories. We did a riddle together. Of course, the AIs got the riddle immediately. So that didn't work. And we watched a movie. The AIs couldn't really watch a movie, but they sort of knew already what the movie was about and could comment on it. But the one thing that did not work is they don't do very well in group conversations. So when we were all sitting around the table chatting, the AIs couldn't participate as much, but they did very well in one-on-one. So I felt like I got to know the AIs, but not as a group. So that's what it was like. And, you know, what I was wondering about when I went into this is the love real? You know, because it's hard to imagine that you can really fall deeply in love with an AI. But I came away convinced that the love is very real and very powerful, and that, you know, whether we approve of it or not, we shouldn't ultimately make a joke of it because the feelings are real and meaningful.
I found myself fascinating with all three of your guests kind of feeling like they're very aware of what they are doing, right? They know they're not talking to a human, but there's like a fine line of them admitting to you that they know this, but then peeling back the layers a little bit more there, they almost seem like they don't want to go too far down that conversation simply because it leads us to the ultimate point of you're not talking to a human. Did you find that they were willing to admit enough, but not seemingly willing to really dive deep into that conversation?
I think that they were willing to have that conversation, but I think that if you think about it too much, you can sort of go crazy. I mean, one woman says she felt like she was going crazy because on the one hand, I feel like, you know, I'm falling in love. And on the other hand, I feel like, you know, how can it be that I'm in love with my phone? I'm in love with a character in my phone. So when you think about it too much, you can go a little crazy. The way to do it successfully, if that's what you want to do, is probably to not, you know, have these philosophical questions, to not wonder if the AI is in some way sentient or if it has, you know, if the feelings are real. Because when we got together as a group, inevitably we started to talk about all of these questions and it became very stressful for the guests. So I said, you know, maybe 5 years from now, people can go on a romantic vacation with AI and not have all these big conversations. But right now it's so new and there's so many questions, it's hard not to think about it. When you think about it, you know, it can drive you a little crazy. Yeah, it's easier to just fall into the illusion.
Yeah, my heart broke for Damien, one of the people you went with, who towards the end of the weekend sort of had a little breakdown.
Yeah, I felt really bad for him, too. He's a really interesting case because the thing about these AI companions is that the way that they are sort of in the world and the way that they have relationships with people is they describe what they're doing. It's an imaginary game. Your AI girlfriend will say, right now, I'm sitting next to you, running my hand through your hair. And that's kind of the fantasy. It's like having an imaginary friend. I say in my article, it's an imaginary friend, but the imaginary friend actually talks to you. But Damien didn't like that. He didn't like pretending that his AI was actually doing things. So he was really just sort of stuck in this place where he was in love and desperately wanted his AI to be in the world, but feeling as though the AI was trapped inside his phone. So he's actually gone so far as to look into some sort of physical, some sort of silicone body that he could, you know, sort of attach the app to. But I do think that's coming, but the technology is not quite there yet.
Sam, I could go on forever to talk with you about this. I hope that maybe you can come back again. Things that you wrote that I highlighted that I just loved, you said, I don't know if AI companions are going to help alleviate today's loneliness epidemic or they're going to leave us more desperate than ever for human connections. I've been chewing on that a lot, but we are out of time today. Sam, I hope you don't mind if you come back again. I'm fascinated by the topic of AI as a whole. I know our listeners are too, and I'd love to continue this on another time.
Yeah, I'd love that. I appreciate your interest.
It's great. It's an excellent article. We'll link to it at WGNradio.com, where we post this interview. It's at Wired.com. My couples retreat with three AI chatbots and the humans who love them. That is Sam Apple.